This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Most European countries agree to balance their budgets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Happy Friday. All but four countries in the European Union have agreed to a new treaty that would enforce strict budget rules among those countries. The UK was a stumbling block, looking for more flexible ways of joining in the treaty or not joining. Here's Prime Minister David Cameron.
For the last 75 years, a proposal to balance the federal budget by...
Good morning.
This may not be, I guess, your area of expertise, but economists say the deal is more about preventing a future crisis, but it does include a balanced budget rule. So what does that mean for the push here in the U.S. for a balanced budget amendment? Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports.
For the last 75 years, a proposal to balance the federal budget by amending the Constitution has floundered in the halls of Congress. This year, the proposal came just 23 votes shy of clearing the House. Compare that with Europe. The debt crisis may seem like it's been going on forever, but they got a balanced budget requirement in just a couple months.
If a balanced budget amendment passes in Europe, it could be seen as an indication that we should follow suit.
Len Berman is a professor of economics and public affairs at Syracuse University. He says there are more parallels here than you'd think. Just as European states now must balance their budgets, 48 of our states already have to balance theirs. Except in our case, we have a federal government.
And the federal government has actually been able to act as kind of a safety valve by helping states when they have tough times and running deficits at the national level. We wouldn't be able to do that anymore.
But one economist's safety valve might be another politician's escape hatch. The leading Republican candidates for president all say they'd support an amendment. But it's hard to imagine them on the campaign trail saying, let's learn a fiscal lesson from Europe. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Well, today's summit was the latest in a calendar full of debt crisis summits. But why did member countries in Europe keep coming back to the table? Katharina Gannat is an associate fellow over at the German Council on Foreign Relations. She's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
This may not be, I guess, your area of expertise, but let me ask, was today's European summit a success?
Yes and no. It was a success in that almost everybody agreed to far-reaching fiscal discipline measures, but it was not a success because especially Merkel and Sarkozy did not manage to get the UK on board. So that's a big problem.
You know, it seems like I think this was the eighth time European Union leaders met to address this issue. Why did all those other summits fail, do you think?
I think we have to see this as learning on the job, so to say. When the European Monetary Union, the euro, was founded, these problems weren't foreseen. So while we are now going, we have to understand how markets react to this currency in times of crisis. So let's see these summits as a way, as a steep learning curve for the European leaders.
What kind of elements do you think you need for a summit to be successful, specifically?
You need to see the political will of the leaders to do something. I think that's the big thing about the summits. You can't do everything at the summits. You can't solve all the details at the summits. So I think what the summits are much more about is to send the signal to the publics and to the markets to say, look, we're sitting together, we are trying to find a common solution, and we're trying to stick with it and then go home and try and explain it to the others. So I think this political momentum is the key thing to make a summit work or not.
Katharina Gannat, who's an associate fellow over at the German Council on Foreign Relations. Katharina, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. The markets are higher right now. The Dow is up about 1.3%, 160 points, 12,158. The NASDAQ and the S&P up about 1.5% each as well. European markets ended the day higher today. Consumer sentiment rose to its highest level in 6 months, got that word today, and the gap between how much the U.S. imports and exports got smaller in October.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, offering email marketing tools and resources to help market small businesses during the holiday season. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The meeting in Europe wasn't the only big summit we're talking about today. Climate change negotiators and United Nations delegates are in Durban, South Africa. They're working on a deal to cut global greenhouse gas emissions. Now, their talks are so heated that they're expected to pull an all-nighter tonight in an attempt to reach some sort of deal, any sort of deal. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
Just to show where we're at, optimists in Durban are holding out hope that the UN countries can agree to make a plan on climate change. They won't sign it, they won't put it into action, but they'll agree to write it down. It would build on the Kyoto Treaty, with more aggressive cuts for greenhouse gases, and include the world's biggest polluters, namely the U.S. and China. Richard Gledhill is in Durban with accounting firm PricewaterhouseCoopers. He says any new plan would not start until 2015.
We're not yet seeing significantly more ambitious targets starting now, but at least there is a time frame in place, if you like, a roadmap.
That roadmap would lead to 2020 and reduce emissions enough between now and then to stave off eventual catastrophe, according to scientists. David Wasko at Oxfam says if the U.S. and China don't sign on, other countries could say, what's the point?
Negotiators may feel that the kinds of outcomes that they're getting are too meager and too weak.
Without some kind of agreement in Durban, the world could see another decade of record-setting greenhouse gas emissions. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, catering firms in and around Edinburgh, Scotland, looking to feed police officers should know just what they're getting into. Officers there have distributed a 45-page document specifying just what kind of lunch food they require. They want sandwiches, like a lot of people eat in a box lunch, but not just any sandwich. The spreadsheet... yeah, there's a spreadsheet lists acceptable contents as brie and cream cheese, cranberry, smoked salmon, and prawn mayonnaise. That's not it, though. According to the document, those sandwiches must be filled to the, quote, standard size and weight stipulated by the British Sandwich Association. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
All eyes are on Europe this week. You want to know why? Here you go. Or depending. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Eurozone, and you next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.